Well, hey, have you heard these terms, wills, trusts, power of attorney? We're going to talk a little bit about that right now with Brad Graber. He's our financial planner, and he's going to talk about estate planning this morning. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Brad, you know, estate planning, the whole idea kind of seems a little overwhelming, you know, because sometimes I think when we think of an estate, we think of people who really have perhaps a lot more financially, or maybe they've got a land, but really estate planning is for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody has an estate. It doesn't really matter what the size is. We all have things. And, you know, even beyond that, you take this back to a stewardship issue, we all have things that we're in charge of, and it even boils down to ourselves and our own health care even as part of our estate plan.
Well, also, Brad, is something that you mentioned in a blog article we were reading on your website, which, by the way, everybody, it's investingintruth.com. You can go to Brad's website and see all that he has to offer there. But you say that estate planning is a difficult issue for a lot of people to deal with. Why is that?
Well, there's a reason why statistics show that about 60% of people don't have a valid estate plan. And I think the biggest issue is that we don't like to confront our own mortality. It's not one of those fun things that you want to go do on a Friday night, go have a conversation about what's going to happen when I'm no longer here. So it's not something we really enjoy, but then again, as Christians, we need to be above that. So while it may not be something fun to do, it's not a bad thing to do. It's something we're actually in charge to do. As a steward, we're in charge of getting our house in order. And I like to read Psalm 90. It really addresses this issue, and especially in verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." And I love how it ends there. It's all about wisdom. And if we continue to go about our lives as if we're immortal, then there's going to be a lot of things we're not paying attention to. We're not making wise decisions on, and ultimately we're acting like a fool because we're not addressing what we know is true, which is our own mortality here on earth.
Now, let's say we're listening this morning to Brad Graber. We're saying, oh, wow, you know what? I really need to think about estate planning. Where does a person even begin, Brad?
The first thing that I would suggest people do, if you ever go to an attorney, the first thing they're going to do is give you a checklist and an information sheet. And one of the things they're going to ask you to do is write a list of all your financial assets. And if you have minor children, think about who you would want to care for your minor children. So these are all those things that they're going to have you do first. If you want to get a head start, you can go for that. I'm not an attorney, and I can tell you that I heavily rely on attorneys to do this part of the work. And the reason is there's so many small issues. So you think about your job. How many people can come in and pick up all the details of your job? Likely not too many people can come in and do that. So we all are trained in specific areas, and estate planning attorneys are well-skilled and have been through a lot of situations where they have wisdom that has come through time to be able to help people navigate this area. So I definitely don't want to discount the value that an attorney adds to the process. And while attorneys typically don't come cheap, this is a huge area in our lives. So we're thinking about how is everything that we're in charge of going to be taken care of when we can no longer make those decisions? And that's not only at death. So there are situations for incapacity where we may have a temporary health situation that doesn't allow us to make those decisions. How are those things going to be taken care of at those moments? So we need somebody that's a professional, can think through all these details and raise these issues to us, so that we have the ability to address them one at a time and say, if this situation comes up, how do I want that to be handled? And, you know, just some of the issues I already mentioned. Your health care. Who's going to make those decisions for you? Your minor children. So if you can't care for them, who's going to care for them? And then ultimately, our money and the finances that we're in charge of, where are those going to go and who's in charge of getting those where we ultimately want to go? Those are some big decisions, and it's not something to take lightly and try to do on your own typically.
Brad, I know there are a lot of different ways we can go about preparing our estate plan and things that we need to look at. And I think two of the most common terms I hear are wills and trusts. Explain what the difference is.
Yeah, a will is simply a legal document that's going to make lots of declarations and lots of instructions. So it's going to say who you want to be your heirs. How do you want your assets to be distributed? who do you want to actually manage that process of distributing those assets? And it can also include, if you have minor children, who the guardians are going to be. So it's a little more of a simple process. A trust, on the other hand, is actually creating a legal entity. So you can consider it almost like a business or a corporation that is going to come into existence, and it is going to continue to live. So the if you look at it as a business, the business owns specific assets. So I can transfer, if I have one created right now, so the most common form is what we call a revocable trust. So I can create that today. I can transfer my assets out of my name into the name of the trust, and then the trust actually is going to dictate how those assets are going to be managed. So while I'm alive, typically I can be the one managing those assets. But as soon as I pass away, there's a succession plan to that business. So the business didn't actually die. It continues to exist. And whatever the plans were for who succeeds me basically steps in and continues to run that business in my absence. The one caveat I'll say, though, and I hear this from a lot of attorneys, is people can have great estate plans drawn up and have a wonderful trust that would take care of everything. But a trust, just like a company, can only take care of what it's in charge of. So if assets are never put into the trust, if the trust is never funded with those assets, it doesn't have any authority to rule over how those assets are going to be taken care of. And typically what I see are if somebody has a trust, they also have a will as well that's going to can direct assets into that trust. So it's not always one or the other. Sometimes they work in conjunction with each other.
You know, on the wills is just kind of a common sense thing to do. I can tell you recently, getting my own place, I've got a daughter in college, so I went to an attorney to get those things cared for because I thought, well, if something happens to me, I don't want a mortgage company coming after my child who's in college, knocking on her door, hey, how's the rest of this thing going to be paid for and stuff? So we had to look at ways to make sure it's covered in my absence. So I am definitely a big proponent of estate planning, that's for sure. And I have a little small place, but it's ours, and I want my child mm-hmm. to have a roof over her head, you know.
And I'm sure you were probably blown away by the questions that they asked you that you didn't even think of.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the value of the attorney in this process.
Absolutely.
Hey, Brad, beneficiary designations. Let's talk about that for just a second, too, because another word that we hear, and this is related, when we're talking about, how we're going to handle things once we're gone, another word we hear is probate. Okay, that's involved. What is probate, and why do we need to make specifically beneficiary designations?
Yeah, probate is simply the process that an estate typically goes through to decide where things go. So are creditors being taken care of? Who should the rightful heirs of these things be? So there are ways to avoid the probate process. That's a lot of the reason why trusts are set up, because trusts can skip the probate process because they actually have a plan in place that is already defined. A couple other ways to get around that are beneficiary designations. Those typically, if not in all cases, in most cases, will actually supersede any estate planning documents that you have in place. So if you have a will that says my assets go to this person, but you have a beneficiary designation on, let's say, a retirement account or a life insurance policy that says something different, that beneficiary designation is actually going to be the piece that has authority. So it's very, very important that we look at all of our financial accounts and all of our documents, whether that be insurance, whether it's, like I said, our bank accounts, our retirement plans, whatever. If we have beneficiaries designated on those accounts, we need to make sure they're always up to date. And it's easy for us to ignore those things. So maybe we have a 401k from a business that we worked at 15 years ago. Have we looked at it and made sure that it's up to date, that it includes all of our children, which we may have not even had any children when we originally made that designation? So it's very, very important to make sure that we're going back, that we're reviewing all those documents and all those beneficiary designations, because there's a lot of power in how things are designated. And this is an easy thing to do. We don't need an attorney to go look at our beneficiary designations. But that's why we start with a list of all of our financial assets, because now we see all these accounts and we can just start going down the list and checking them off one by one and noting who our beneficiaries are on each thing.